So there's been a recent outbreak of violence at our house. We happen to have our four cats, of course, and over the past month or two, there have been two gentlemen callers who keep coming around our house. And our cats are equal parts intrigued by their presence and also irritated slash irate that they would have the nerve. I think they're probably more concerned that they're gonna have to share their food with more cats. but these gentlemen cats, there's one who's a black and white cat, we call him Batman, and then there's another who's orange, we call him Slim Jim. They're not only coming around the house, but we'll often see them just sitting on our back steps, staring into the back window. And this week, our oldest cat, Maisel, had just had enough. When I was away at work one day, Ethan told me she was on her hind legs, just yowling at the back door, hissing at this cat peering in. And unfortunately, one of our other cats, Sylvie, happened to be walking by, and Maisel just turned all her ire onto poor Sylvie. Everyone survived. Ethan was a little scarred by this incident, and Sylvie kind of lost a few tufts of hair. But needless to say, we definitely needed some both physical and spiritual healing in our household this week. I always struggle with these healing passages. Today we get several stories. We get Naaman, who's this foreign military leader. He's actually a Syrian. He's not an Israelite, though. He's healed by the guidance of God through the prophet Elisha. And then we also get these 10 people who have skin diseases, who Jesus heals, and the tale of the solitary Samaritan, another foreigner to Jesus' audience, who returns to give thanks. And we hear that classic line, "Your faith has made you well." I don't want to gloss over the fact that in our own lives, not everyone gets healed. Some of us live with prolonged ailments and learn to manage pain and discomfort, embarrassment and suffering, and other people die. We lose folks. That's the reality of life. Over this past year, with a kind of difficult pregnancy, labor, a C-section, postpartum struggles, those things have all kind of brought me intimately close to understanding the temporary nature of health in a way that I didn't understand before. How bodies are frail and vulnerable, how feeling strong and capable can be something that we easily lose. And I want to name that I don't have an answer for miraculous healings. I don't know why they happen. I don't know why some people get better and others don't. But I do know that there are times that I wish it were just as easy as bathing in a river 7 times and being healed from scars or these awful postpartum hot flashes that I seem to have. I think it's fair to name that we've probably all longed for that from time to time. Healing doesn't feel fair. And I want you to especially hear this. The amount of faith that you have does not correlate to your results in the health world. Some of the most faithful people I know struggle the most with health concerns. God is not rewarding us or punishing us based on how much faith we have with good or bad health. But there is a reason that we tend to think that. And even if our logical minds know that's not true, there's something sometimes in the back of our head that says, is it? And that's because of some of these stories, especially the stories we have in the Old Testament. They're full of this. There's always seems to be this correlation between physical health and being favored by God. Often when people stray from God and worship other gods, they're punished with illnesses in the Old Testament stories. And that's especially true in the book of Kings and Chronicles, where we get the story of Naaman. But here's why I think Naaman is actually helpful to counter this. You see, we don't hear that he has done anything to deserve his skin disease, this disease that's ostracizing him from his community. Indeed, every other part of his life is a success. And his healing isn't necessarily just about his skin getting better either. You see, he is this high and mighty person. He writes the letter that we hear about to the king of Israel, thinking the king of Israel is going to be the one who heals him personally. And his healing needs to include then listening to the wisdom and the faith of first a lowly servant girl, a woman who has been taken captive in a war. He has to lower himself further by listening to the servants of Elisha. He doesn't even get healed by the prophet himself. And finally, he has to go and bathe in this river that he would probably deem dirty. His healing isn't necessarily just about being physically better. He has to be in the presence of God through people who he may not expect to be holy, those who are rather lowly. And similarly, the story of the 10 folks with skin diseases, they're not just clean. There's no backstory too, right, for why they are in this predicament. And they ask for Jesus' mercy, and they're made clean, which means that they are physically healed. And the first part of that story is important, because when we hear the word clean, it is physically healed. And it's this Greek word, katharizo, to be made clean from their disease. But later it's different. So first, let's just leave behind that bad theology that you have to have enough faith to be healed. It doesn't work, and it's never been good for anybody. But then let's ask ourselves, then what's the point of these stories? I think these stories hold something interesting, in that the main character not only gets physically healed, but they're also spiritually changed. They are made well when they come into the presence of God. Naaman becomes humbled in God's presence. The outer healing is symbolic of the inner change. And likewise, the Samaritan person with a skin illness returns and gives thanks in the presence of Jesus. They show this beautiful example of gratitude, an example of what it means to not just be made clean, but to be made well. And that being made well, like I said, is a little different. It's the Greek word sozo, meaning wholeness, salvation in the spirit. So when I was thinking about what's the message of this text, what kept coming to my mind was, can our faith make us well and not physically healed? Can we be well without being healed? Is that possible? And I wonder about the interaction between the Samaritan and Jesus. He gets to come into contact with God. He gets to give thanks. And I'm no expert in our indigenous siblings, but I am very intrigued by the way that they understand God. They often do through the connection to land and this immense respect and gratitude for the natural world. Indeed, I'm always interested in people who find and experience God through nature. Personally, I feel closest to God when I am in the presence of other people, you all, like when we're here, and also in the presence of my own family. I had this really holy experience after giving birth to Marigold. It was almost a week after her birth, and we had just gotten home from the hospital. I had this day where every time I looked at her, I just cried. I couldn't believe how much I loved this little person. And I remember telling Ethan, I think this is what heaven feels like. It feels like this immense sense of love outpouring. It felt like being in God's presence. I never quite felt such overwhelming love and joy and peace before. It was powerful. But in that moment, I wasn't physically doing so well. I wasn't healed. I still had this very intense C-section scar and bandages, and I couldn't even lift myself out of bed because my abs were so ruined. But I had never felt more whole. I had never felt such love and joy and connection before. Everything felt so holy, and I felt well in my soul. So can feeling well or completely whole be separate? Separate from the physical ailments? I wonder if we just let them be separate things. Maybe even biblically, we let the examples of healing, physical healing, be that outward symbol of an inner change. Maybe then we can hold them both together without feeling like we're deficient if we're not physically healed. We, of course, recognize that we all long for healing. The body matters. And, of course, we see Jesus care for bodies. But this idea of being made well matters too. And the Samaritan is proclaimed to be well when he returns to give thanks to Jesus, when he returns to God's presence. There's something here about being in God's presence and being made well. And I think we're allowed to have different experiences that bring us close to God's presence, whether it's nature or people. But the Samaritan teaches us something else, the importance of giving thanks for that. And I think that's what brings us full circle into a moment of wholeness where we are intimately connected to God and also in the presence of God's salvation. So thanks be to God for that. Amen.